Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
All right, well, we're excited to be continue on with our series on the sweet life, the fruit of the Spirit. Yesterday, we were having lunch together with my wife and I, with Perry and Nika, right?
Yes.
And they're Filipino, and so, of course, my wife, and they're talking, and we're talking about learning languages and how difficult it is to learn Chinese. But even though I'm Chinese, struggling with learning and all these new words that we're learning, and then between like English, Filipino, and Chinese, how there's some words that just don't have a correlating translation. There's no words for them. My wife always makes fun of me, these different Filipino words that really don't have an English translation, like pasalubong and kulig and kulit.
Yeah.
Kilig. Not Kulig. That's Kool-Aid. I'm horrible with languages. But and she's always trying to explain these words to me. But you get the feeling of them, you know, these different words. And today we're going to be looking at a word from the list of the fruit of the Spirit that really doesn't have an English translation. It's one of the most difficult words, Bible commentators will say, is one of the more difficult words to translate in the Bible because there's no direct correlation. And so as you read through the fruit of the Spirit here in our theme verse, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And today, we're almost at the end of our series here. We went through love and joy and peace, talked about patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and how each of these are fruit that we're to bear in our lives, because when we live these different characteristics, love, joy, peace, it makes our lives attractive, and it causes other people to want to be around us and to feel refreshed and to feel the sweetness of life when we live out these characteristics. So these characteristics are meant to be, they're really not for us. They're meant to be a part of our relationships with other people. And we talked about how they're both characteristics that we pursue or try to emulate because they're part of God's nature and who He is. But they're also, as we get closer to God, as God's life is formed in us, they become just a natural part of who we are. So that when we come into life situations, especially the difficult ones, and we're disappointed, or we get attacked, or we get offended, what comes out of us isn't bitterness, isn't anger, but love and joy and peace. We don't even have to think what would Jesus do or how would God respond. Just naturally, we begin to respond in the ways that God does with His nature. And that's what it means to be the fruit of the Spirit, because we talked about how fruit just naturally are what a plant produces, what a tree produces. Mango tree just automatically produces mango. And a coconut tree produces coconuts. And it doesn't have to tell itself, now what kind of fruit should I produce today? It just automatically produces that. And so when we have the Spirit of God inside of us, and we walk in the Spirit of God, then we just naturally produce the fruit of the Spirit. And today the fruit of the Spirit that we're going on is called gentleness. And there's a lot of confusion as to what this gentleness means. In the English Bible, different translations and actually different places in the Bible translate it different ways. They call it gentleness means to be mild, or means to be humble. It means to be patient. These different words that they use to translate this one Greek word for which there's no really direct translation. And that word is praus. I don't speak Greek either, and so I'm sure I'm tearing that apart. But this word, praus, what we're going to do today is we're going to unpack for you what does it mean, because as we go through these different fruit of the Spirit, we want to define them not the way that we know them, but we want to define them by what the Bible means. What does God mean? What did Paul mean when he wrote this, that the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness? What was he referring to? What does that look like in our lives? And if we're going to try to be gentle, what does that mean? And when we start to walk into life situations, how do we know if we're responding with the fruit of the Spirit? How do we know if that fruit's been developed in us? Okay, so we're going to look today at gentleness, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your life formed in us, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit, Lord God, can become who we are. Father, I pray that as we go through the scriptures today, Lord, that your Spirit would speak to us in such a way that our lives would be transformed, that we would know more about you, that we would encounter your gentleness, your prowess in our lives, and that we would be changed to be more like you in our relationships with each other and our relationships with the world around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're looking at today at gentleness, the least understood, least translatable or appreciated fruit of the Spirit. In fact, as people did studies of this, he said that the fruit of the Spirit that's preached on the least of all the different fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Just because it's difficult to understand, but it's so important to our lives that it's good for us to understand what it is. In some places in the Bible, this word praos is translated meekness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 says this: "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And so we have praos or meekness in our lives when we live this way. The Bible says people who live with meekness in their lives, when you develop that in your life, you're going to own the world. Everybody wants to rule the world. Was that Simply Red? Forget. Who was that?
Tears for Fears.
Tears for Fears. An old song for all us old people. But, you know, there's a truth that we're created, the Bible says, from Genesis chapter 1. God created us to have dominion in the world, to rule the world, to take care of it, to rule it with gentleness. And God says that the people who are meek, who have this gentleness, who have this mildness in their lives, this meekness in their lives, they're the ones to whom God is going to give rulership of the world. And so it's important for you and I that we understand and begin to develop this trait in our lives so that when we rule the world, whatever part of this earth that we have authority in, we begin to demonstrate meekness in our rulership. Because that's God's desire for us and his desire for this world. So praos is a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also one of the attitudes. These are this list of the blessed are the meek. It's part of a list of different attitudes that God intends for his people to have. So meekness. So what is gentleness or praos? What does it look like? We're going to look it through the scriptures, and we're going to look at really the prime example of meekness in the Bible. Because sometimes it's easier when you can't really, it's hard to define what a thing is. Like some fruits are just hard to describe. If, for instance, we always say, if you had never seen or eaten an orange before, and someone was trying to describe to you what an orange was, you'd say, well, it's kind of smooth, but it's kind of rough. And it's green and sometimes yellow and sometimes orange. And when you eat it, it's sort of sweet, but it's also kind of sour. So it's sweet and it's sour and it's orange, but it's yellow and it's green, but it's smooth and it's rough. And where does this fruit exist in reality, right? But when you see one, then all of a sudden you understand, oh, I get it. Now I understand. When you taste it, you think, oh yeah, it is sweet, but it is kind of sour as well. And it's the same thing with gentleness or praos. When you see it, you understand it. And so Matthew chapter 11, this is going to look at gentleness according to Jesus. Because the Bible says that Jesus is one of two people in the scriptures that the Bible says this person is praos. They demonstrate praos. Jesus and Moses. And so today we're going to look at Jesus. Gentleness according to Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-29, verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle." That word gentle is praos at heart. "And you will find rest for your souls." So, Jesus, when we look at his life, he is a demonstration of what it means to be humble, to be meek, to be proud, gentle. He's a gentle person. Another place that we can look at as we look at Jesus, and we're going to just kind of look at two different things, because we believe that if something is true, that you can see it in Scripture, but you can also see it in nature. And there was a man, a Greek writer. He's actually a military leader, historian, and a philosopher called Xenophon. And he's one of the few writers from ancient Greece that used this word. I think he's one of the only places that we can find this word in ancient Greece. And so he was a military leader and historian, but he also had this great interest in nature. And he used the word praus to describe the training of horses, because he had a special interest in training horses, training them for battle, training them for farm work, training them for travel. And he used this word praus, is how we train horses and how we get horses to act. And he said, we both train them. We have to be praus, or gentle, in the way that we train and break wild horses. And then when we do that, if we're gentle in the way that we break and train wild horses, then they will be gentle in the ways that they treat us and treat each other. And so when you see a horse being trained, the reason why a horse is trained is to harness the natural strength and ability that a horse has so that it can use that strength for something productive. So this training, this prowess, this gentleness doesn't remove the strength of the horse, but rather it focuses that strength. I heard a guy once say that what prowess does, it doesn't take away our strength, but it shows us what our strength is for. And so a good horse trainer will not steal the horse's strength, but will channel that strength to where at the slightest touch that they can direct the strength of that horse. And so we have a picture here of a horse in a race. Life is good. And that's the name of the horse. Life is good. But all this strength, this champion horse, all this strength under the control of the jockey. And that jockey, when the horse is well trained, just takes a little bit of pressure. And when they, as they train, as they ride together, it's almost like the horse and the jockey. Jockeys will tell you, it's almost like we're one. The horse can sense when I want him to go fast. The horse can sense when I want to cut off another horse, when I want it to get in closer to the rail, when it's time to really go all out. The horse can almost sense the jockey's desires and wishes at the same time as the jockey has them. Equestrians, when you have a well-trained horse, they say you can just guide that horse simply by the pressure of your feet and your knees, and gentle pressure with a well-trained horse will guide that horse and tell it when to run, when to trot, when to jump. And so in our lives, when Jesus says that he's gentle, it's because Jesus was easily guidable. In fact, Jesus says this about himself, John chapter 12, verses 49 through 50. It says, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know his commands lead to eternal life. So I say whatever the Father tells me to say. You see, so Jesus was like this strong horse under submission to the Father. Father, you tell me what to say. You tell me how to say it. And whatever you command me, I know it's always going to be good. And so I've learned now to be under submission to God. And so the Bible, Jesus says, I'm gentle. I'm praus. I'm submitted to God in every way. I'm submitted to the Father in every way. And I want you, the same way that I'm so one with the Father, that at the slightest beckoning, I will move with his desires, with the slightest pressure, the slightest command. In the same way, I want you to move with the Spirit of God, to respond to the slightest push of the Spirit of God in your life. That's what it means to be praus, to be mild, to be gentle, to be submitted to God. Gentleness does not mean weak. Jesus was anything but weak. He had all the power of heaven at his disposal, but he channeled it all exactly the way the Father wanted to. So when we submit to God, then God begins to show us what our strength is for. We begin to discover what we're created for as we learn to be gentle, to be meek, to be submitted to God. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, "So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your heart, for it has the power to save your souls." So what God has for you, the things that He's spoken to you, because God speaks to all of us. The truth is, every single one of us, we all actually hear God's voice. And all of us have the influence of God in our lives. Sometimes we think of it as conscience. Sometimes we think of it as random ideas that seem to come from nowhere. But God is consistently speaking into our lives. Whether you are a Christian or not a Christian, God speaks to you. Because the Bible says this, no one comes to God except the Father draws him. So none of us could ever become Christians except that God was already speaking to us before we ever became Christians. And we responded to His voice. So when we respond to God, that's praus. And the more that we learn to respond to God, identify His voice and respond to Him, humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. See, it takes us being praus, humble. It takes us being meek, gentle, where we don't fight against what God says to do in our lives. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You were created with a purpose and a plan. Nobody ever showed up on earth and God said, "Man, Jesus, where'd they come from? I wasn't prepared for them to be born. We better make up a plan." Every one of us, when we were born, God already had a plan and a purpose for your life. The question, only question, is whether or not you will have the meekness, the gentleness to recognize God's plan for your life and to submit to His guidance in your life so that you can then walk out the plan and the purpose that He has for your life. Because the only way that you'll discover God's created purpose in your life, the reason for which you are created, is by being praus, gentle, mild towards God, submitted to His direction in your life. And that's what saves our souls. When our souls are our emotions and our thoughts, our will, that aspect of us, our emotional health, our mental health. And when we lack mental health, when we lack emotional health, when we have emotions and thoughts that beguile us and that frustrate us, it's because we're not submitted to God. We haven't found yet His plan and purpose for our lives. And so what God calls us to do is to submit to His plan and purpose for our lives. There's a story in that we just read a couple of days ago in our daily reading. But in Acts chapter 18, there's an illustration of a man who was Apollos. He says, "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, an eloquent speaker who knew the scriptures well, had arrived in Ephesus from Alexandria in Egypt. He had been taught the way of the Lord, and he taught others about Jesus with an enthusiastic spirit and with accuracy. However, he knew only about John's baptism." So here's this guy, Apollos. Okay, so Apollos, he's from Alexandria. Alexandria was probably the second most important city in the known world at that time. Alexandria was probably the second largest city in the world after Rome. And what Alexandria was especially known for was culture and knowledge. The greatest library in the world was in Alexandria at that time. And so Alexandria in Egypt was really like the center of learning, the center of knowledge, the center of intellect in the known world at that time. And so Apollos, he comes from this place. He comes from the city that's known for intellect, known for knowledge, known for learning. And the Bible says not only is he a learned man, but he was teaching and he taught well. He was an eloquent speaker. So not only did he have a knowledge of the scriptures, he knew the scriptures well, but he also was eloquent in speaking. And the Bible says he was enthusiastic, with an enthusiastic spirit and accuracy. So this guy was a gifted speaker, a gifted teacher. World class. And he taught people about Jesus. But his experience in God, he only knew John the Baptist's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance, saying, I'm sorry for everything I've done and I want to clean my past away. He didn't understand the baptism that we do, which is now baptism into Jesus, which is a commitment of our lives to Jesus. All he knew was, I want to get rid of sin and a baptism to wash away sin, but not a baptism of commitment to Jesus that Jesus taught us to be baptized in. And so Priscilla and Aquila, we can go to the next scripture there. It says, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him preaching boldly in the synagogue, they took him aside and explained the way of God even more accurately. So Priscilla and Aquila, who were tent makers, they actually made tents and were like volunteer ministers, which I love here at Every Nation New York. Most of our staff is volunteer, just like that. People like my wife, you know. But they had full-time jobs like Kevin did, who was the leader of the church before me. And so Priscilla and Aquila had full-time jobs, but did church in their spare time, did ministry work. And so here's Apollos, who could look at them and say, you guys are just, you know, you guys aren't even professional speakers. I'm like, I come from Alexandria, and I'm probably more eloquent than you guys. I'm probably more learned than you guys. What do you have to teach me? I do this full time. You guys make tents, you know, in your spare time you teach. But instead, what he was, praus, he was humble. He received their instruction. He said, I want to learn. If there's more, I want to learn. And it's so easy for us to be people who, when we look at others, rather than receiving whatever we can and getting whatever learning we can from the circumstances and the people around us, we want to check out what's their motive, and are they smarter than me? And am I in the right mood to receive some teaching? You know, and we can make all kinds of excuses not to learn. And if you're a person who's difficult to correct, if you're a person who's difficult to instruct, if you respond to people, even if you don't on the outside, even on the outside you say, oh, thanks for sharing that, but on the inside you're saying, you don't even have any clue who I am and how much smarter I am than you and how much more experienced I am than you. And we stiff arm any learning that we could have gotten from them. And some of us will we'll just blow them off. But you'll never become all that God has for you. You'll never gain all that God has for you if you're a person who's hard to be corrected, if you're a person who is hard to be instructed, if you're not praus, if you're not humble, gentle when people come. So all you guys who are up here with your masters and doctorates, you know, it's easy to us to get on, you know, I'm not a master. I got my master's degree. What can I learn from you who are not a master? You know, and we can cut off all this learning that God has around us in our lives because we're not praus. And so the verse goes on, scriptures go on to tell about Apollos. It says, Apollos had been thinking about going to Achaia, and the brothers and sisters in Ephesus encouraged him to go. They wrote to the believers in Achaia, asking them to welcome him. And when he arrived there, he proved to be of great benefit to those who, by God's grace, had believed. And so here we see Apollos, his ministry now just goes even more powerful than it was before. And now because he's a person who just learns and is willing to learn, his ministry and his impact continues to grow and expand. And so I want to encourage us as a church, let's be praus, let's be gentle, let's be meek, let's be those that are humble, that can learn from anyone. And so every situation that we walk through in life, we're going to squeeze it for all that we can and learn everything we can from it. Apollos, he was a model of praus. The truth is, you can never understand God's love without praus, without meekness. The Bible says this in John chapter 15, verse 10. Jesus said, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Being praus, being meek, being humble, being submitted to God, obeying God's commandments is the only way to fully experience the love of God. And so if you want to be a person who loves God and who loves others, you have to be proud. You have to have this meekness upon you like Jesus did. I'm going to say what I hear the Father saying. I'm going to say it the way the Father says it. And here's one of the keys too, is perfect love, it casts out fear, the Bible says. When we walk in the Father's love, all of a sudden we walk without this fear. Why? Because we know that God is with us and we are right in step with Him. We're right where He wants us to be. And all of a sudden fear begins to go in our lives. And Xenophon, that Greek historian, he writes about prowess. He writes that one time when the army was crossing this river in Iraq, I think it was Iraq or Iran, I forget which, but as his army was crossing the river, all these big fish just would come right around them and just would not run away. And he talked about these fish being prowess or tame, how they weren't afraid of the soldiers marching through the river. And so prowess has that sense of there's no fear. See, it's fear in our life that causes us with the fight or flight reaction, right? And so we get into these conflicts with people because of really the fear and insecurity in our own souls. Because we have this fear of what's going to happen, what does this people want? And living here in Taiwan, I see it in general, Taiwanese people are so friendly. But when they find out that I can't speak Taiwanese, sometimes there's an insecurity in the lack of communication. And for some people that comes out as, I really just don't want to talk to you. You don't speak Chinese. I don't want to talk to you. And others it comes, there's an anger like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not speaking to me? And you get that fight or fright response reaction because of a sense of insecurity or this unfamiliar relationship. You don't know what is he saying? What am I, will I be able to communicate with this person? And we do that in a lot of situations in life. If we don't have the security in God, then we walk into new situations, we walk into uncertainty, and that fear causes a flight or fight reaction. And we get angry with people, we get upset with people, or we just cut them off, or we just want to just kind of disappear, go back into our shell. We get very insecure and, oh, really, I don't want, it's okay, I don't want to talk to you. Or why are you doing this? Why are you saying what you're saying? And it's fear in our lives. But when we walk in love with God, when we walk submitted to Him, in relationship with Him, all of a sudden that fear goes away. I have this picture of, we always have to have cute pictures. So that's a picture of prowess. There's that, the daddy lions. This is a gentle love, a humble love. And the little lion, the little cub, when he's walking with daddy, there's no fear there. That love, that relationship of knowing, dad's always going to take care of me. Because he's experienced the prowess of his father, the gentle care of his father, the protection of his father, that now he walks without fear. So see, prowess is not only how we receive, but it's also how we teach, with gentleness, with meekness, with humility. So why do we need gentleness or prowess? First one, to help others escape from sin or escape from destruction in their lives. When people are living in messed up places, when you can see the brokenness in their lives and seeing, you keep doing that, you're destroying your relationships, you're going to destroy your career, you're going to destroy your family, and want to help people get out of their sin. If they're suspect to anger or lying or cheating or whatever their sin might be, whatever sin has them trapped, the insecurity that has them, it's prowess helps us, is how we help them to escape from their destruction. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path and be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. So when we see them, we don't go out there, we don't yell at them, we don't say, what's wrong with you? Why are you so messed up? If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. That's not prowess. The Bible says, if we see, we should gently and humbly help them back onto the right path. If we see someone drifting away from what's right, what's good. I have another picture here of Daddy Lion. gently, say, okay, we're going to bring you back and put you back in the right place. We're going to bring you back to the den. He just gently grabs that little cub and brings him back. That's praus. And this, the Bible says, this is how we help people. Praus. Gently, meekly. Praus helps us to bond in spite of our own brokenness. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2 says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Guess what? Everybody sitting around you in this church has faults. If you're married, you are married to someone with faults. And guess what? Your spouse has married someone with faults. And you've joined a church with people with faults. And I hate to break it to you, but you've got faults. We all have brokenness in our lives. And so the Bible says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. This is what praus does. We're meek with each other. Because the closer that we get to each other, the more we're going to see each other's faults. And the goal of this, of having a community, is that we would get closer to each other. That we would share life together. That we would become like family together. And not dysfunctional family, but healthy family. What healthy family does is we're humble, we're gentle, we're patient. We make allowance for each other's faults because we'll all have them. Titus chapter 3 verse 2 says this, they must not slander anyone and must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. This, what do we do nowadays? We live in a culture that doesn't know how to be gentle or patient or humble. All you got to do is go on social media or go onto any blog and you look at all the comments on any statement someone makes, and everybody's just fighting with each other. And if you say something just a little bit the wrong way, then you're stupid, you know. And that's true whether you're on political blogs, whether you're on religious blogs, even sports blogs. You know, they get, you think that player's good? You don't even understand. You think that team's better than that team? And we're ripping on each other. There's no prowess. There's no gentleness. There's no humility. There's no meekness in our conversations with each other. Just imagine if we as a church, if prowess got into our social media, what a change that might be. As a church, we need to be different. As followers of Jesus, we need to be more like him in our conversation, both spoken and written and digital. In all of our lives, the fruit that God is looking for is praus. So it helps us to bond with people rather than divide, to build community rather than to cancel. It helps us to reach those who oppose God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. It's not guaranteed that they're going to change, but you give them an opportunity. When you find people who oppose truth, who oppose God, who are anti the things that you believe in and stand for, and start to attack you, so opposition, they start throwing opposition in your way. How do you respond? No, we don't punch them back. We don't oppose them back, but we gently instruct, create ways for them to perhaps come to the truth. For this next one is actually written to women. I'm sure it's not only about women. But if you want a beauty that doesn't fade, Peter said, you should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty. He's saying to women, instead of putting all just fancy clothes and fancy jewelry and makeup, you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. There's just something attractive about a person who's at peace with themselves, and there's a gentleness where they're not against everything and not attacking everything, but there's an attractiveness to gentleness. Praus is attractive. We're to use praus when we share Jesus with others. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. So we conduct ourselves always with praus, with gentleness, with humility. when we're trying to share with people about Christ. So often we as Christians, we come across with this pride and arrogance. We come across with this know-it-all. We come across as trying to lecture people or try to force them into the kingdom or condemn them to Christ. I'm not sure that condemning people to Christ is, certainly it's not the way that Peter said to do it. But he said, no, with gentleness. Always be ready to share why you're a follower of Christ, but be able to share that with a gentleness, with a humility. Share it in a respectful way. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, as we almost start to close. We start to close. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, gentleness must be pursued, but you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Gentleness needs to be something that we pursue. We need to actively work on becoming more gentle, more praus, more submitted to God, more humble, more gentle in their interactions with others, more tame or easy for God to control, more respectful of others. This is what it means to be praus, and this is what God calls us to be. And Paul told Timothy, you need to pursue this. It's not just going to come naturally. So on the one sense, once we have a lot of the Holy Spirit in us, it comes naturally. But how do we get more of the Holy Spirit and God inside of us and become more like Him so that it comes natural? Is we have to pursue it. So praus is both a fruit and a command. It's a product in our lives of God being in our lives. And it's a commandment to follow in order to become more like Him. I want to close with Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Going back to Jesus, our example. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So go through life. There's all different kinds of burdens that we carry. And today I want to highlight two of them, and they're really actually this from this book, The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. He talks about how the two of the greatest burdens in life that are carried by meekness. The heart of the world is breaking under this load of pride and pretense. There is no release from our burden apart from the meekness of Christ. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you because I'm meek. I'm praus. I've taken on the yoke of my Father. Everything that He asks me to do, I do. I'm in the yoke with Him. I'm one with the Father. The Father and I have been working together as I've walked here on earth. I'm praus. I'm gentle. I'm submitted to my Father. And if you'll come and get into my yoke, if you'll come join with me, you'll find that I'm gentle and you'll begin to become praus, meek and gentle. And what it'll deal with is this pride and pretense in our lives. Pride because we have this sense of identity in ourselves that we think we need to protect. This little, it's like the idol of who we think we are. And it's this thing that this pride, and I start to take this pride when I begin to have my pride, my identity in myself, that anybody who says something disparaging to me or that seems to threaten my identity and who I think of as of myself, what I think of myself, I react very badly to. And it begins to put pressure on me. What are people seeing? You know, I have to show them that I really am this person that I think I am. And then it's all upon me. Who I am to the world is all based on me. I have to put up this pretense. All of a sudden, my identity is in how wealthy I am, how smart I am, how cultured I am, the clothes that I wear. And we put on all the outward trappings instead of the inside. It used to be that a gentleman was known by his character, by his behavior. He always just did the right thing. He knew the right thing to do, the right thing to say at the right time. He always treated people well. And that under any circumstances, no matter what kind of pressure came upon him, he would always still respond correctly and treat people well. That used to be what a gentleman was. Now it's kind of like gentleman is, you know, GQ, Gentleman's Quarterly. Here's how to dress. You know, here's the right car to have, the right shirt to have. You got to be seen in the right places. And gentlemen is all about status. And we can buy into that thing, and our identity becomes all pride and pretense. And we live with this fear that, what if I meet someone who's more cultured than me? What if I meet someone who is so much smarter than me? That makes me not, all of a sudden I lose my identity. What if they have a better wardrobe than I have? I have to keep up with everybody. And what if they look inside and find out that who I am on the inside is not the same as what I reveal on the outside, what I portray on the outside? And see, when we live with pride and pretense, then it's a heavy burden on us. And Jesus says, if you come to me, I'll take all of that away. Because then you can find your identity in me, and I'll accept you just the way you are. And you can be comfortable in your own skin like that little lion cub. Everything's okay. Why? Because Big Daddy's there. And when you know that God is on your side and God loves you as you are, that He's going to guide you and protect you, then everything is okay. All of a sudden there's a freedom and a joy in life. You're not worried about being small. You're not worried about getting into trouble. There's a freedom of just walking, knowing that Dad's going to come. He's going to put me back on the right path. And this is what Jesus wants to do for your life. But we have to humble ourselves. We have to receive His protection, direction in our lives. And so today, I want to close with just a simple prayer. A prayer of just saying, Jesus, I want to humble myself. You come and be Lord of my life. I want to be praos, submitted to you. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your love for us, that you are praos, that you are meek and you are humble and you are gentle in how you guide us, in how you love us, in how you teach us. God, I pray that we might respond with that same kind of praos of just being submitted to you, being humble and meek before you. Father, we open our hearts. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see how much you love us, how much you care for us, how safe we are with you, that we can trust you. And Lord, I ask that you would come and Lord, accept me as I am, Lord, with all my faults, my sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Be the Lord of my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you humbled yourself on my behalf, that you were obedient to the Father on my behalf, even to going to the cross and dying for me. And I receive your gift of life today. Come, be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.